Yes. So how many times did I drive myself to the emergency room?
Oh, my God.
Right? I would drive. My appendix almost burst, and I'm driving myself to the emergency room.
Hello.
I'm Carmi.
I'm Laurie.
Welcome to Monsters.
Monster.
Oh, we got a dog.
I know, and a dog. That's all.
There's
right.
A couple of They're distractions smart. This episode, but that is
what it is to be a mom, right? Yes. Yeah.
This is Lincoln, my baby. Are you a baby or a big boy? A big boy.
What are you playing with? What color is it? Green. Green, yes.
And we have our new baby on the way coming in December. Your little baby sister, right?
And what do we have a name for baby sister yet?
Yeah.
What?
Blah, blah.
Blah, blah.
Lincoln's name for baby sister is blah, blah.
Blah, blah. Okay. There you go.
Yes.
Pancake. Pancake. Very good.
All right. Good. So in the spirit of vulnerability, let's talk about how we got here in this wonderful peak of our careers.
Well, that's just it. In the peak of our careers, like, here we are, all right, doing a podcast because we are both unemployed.
We are.
And, you want Play-Doh? Oh, I love Play-Doh. Sure. Thank you. Oh, this is great. It's great for my ADD. So I lost my job about 4 months ago. I can't really say lost my job because they don't look at it as losing my job, even though I'm unemployed. They called it corporate restructuring, which is
BS.
What it is. So that's it. So here I am, an old person with older children trying to find a job. However, Carmi came up with this idea of doing Momsters, and I actually really loved the idea because, one, I have worked in radio before, and I always say, like, just give me a microphone and let me do my thing, and that's why I'm so enjoying this. And to give me an outlet for all that creativity that was lost over the last 2 years of my life.
So everyone here has experience except for me, which is fine.
Well, no, you
got. We've
experience.
Got Robbie on the camera.
My son. Yes.
Actual film experience, and we've got actual radio experience, and I'm just here for fun.
No, she's the law. So she's the law. So if anything comes up, we just defer to her.
And as a disclaimer, nothing in this podcast or any podcast it should be considered legal or medical advice. And this is just an area for banter and discussion and not actual professional advice.
Well, that's really nice. I say that too about when I do. Oh, so like another part of my job, because I guess I should mention this too, is that I am a psychic medium and I do readings for people.
And you've been on television now.
Galleries, and I've been on national television, and I had my own radio show. Twice, so two different stations, and for consecutive years, one for five consecutive years, so that's like a pretty darn good thing.
So you're the real talent here. I'm here because oh my God, I hate
because you don't have a job either because you were pregnant. And
all right, so I find this I'm like, I'm so humiliated still, and
you can't be humiliated about this.
I'm having a really bad pregnancy. It's rough. I have HG, hyperemesis, and that means that I'm sick, like, almost all the time. I'm having a good hour right now, which is nice.
That's because you're distracted.
But it's been rough, and it's been really unpredictable. So you think you're going to get better at 15 weeks. You think you're going to be good for your second trimester.
So with her HG, so she thinks she's going to be okay, and the doctors told her at a certain period of time, I think it was like 15 weeks or 12 weeks, that it would go away, and it hasn't. So we are now at week 24.
Yeah. And so this is legitimate disability. I mean, I was on disability, and it's tough because you have these rights
But first of all,
I mean, there's no job protection under disability. And it just so happened that I switched jobs within a year. So I had no job protection under FMLA, which is BS. That's a big hole and gap in the law that we can talk about later. But yeah, I mean, they were...
Wait. You're not going to leave that on, are you? So because you were missing so much work.
So yeah, I took a couple weeks of disability and came back. And then, you know, people expect you to be better then. And unfortunately, that was not the case. Like, I felt better for a day or two. And then I got extremely sick again. And I was throwing up 7 times a day. And you're just not billing 8 hours when you're throwing up 7 times a day. And even if you are, like, you're not in your best mind at that point. You're a mess. I had low iron. I was fatigued. And still I have these symptoms. It's not like it went away overnight. So I think my mistake is I should have taken more disability. I should have been more accepting of my own limitations, because
yeah, but we think we could do it all. We truly believe we could do it all.
People, I mean, not anything against our family, but our family is all about the labor force and not so much about mental health or physical health. And so there was this, like, oh my God, the stigma of
you're not working.
Seeking disability.
Oh, yeah.
Even though you're entitled to it, even though it's your right, even though I had a legit and have a legitimate disability, it's like, oh my God, I can't believe that you're taking that. Like, they're not going to like you. And
yeah.
So at the end of the day, it turned out that I couldn't, look, I can't bill 8 hours a day. I still can't.
Yeah, but eventually you will. You can't look at it. This is temporary. Right? Because pregnancy is 9 months, right? 40 weeks. How could I forget? It's 40 weeks, right? So eventually after this, and after you have your child, and I have another great...
granddaughter? No, oh my God. You're so old now. I aged you so much there.
Yeah, just put another 20 years on me. So you will be able to... You know, and you're functioning now.
And it's tough to... I found a school guy, but... It's tough to come to terms with that in my head.
Yours. Not mine.
It's not sharp? Okay.
Oh, okay.
Because we see career progression as constantly uphill. We are reaching the next step, improving, getting raises. All right, so I think we were saying... You know, I've always felt like a very career-driven woman and never even considered being a stay-at-home mom. I've always wanted to progress my career. That was a priority for me. And so I've never even contemplated leaning into motherhood and away from my career. So for that to just be sort of thrust upon me was... terrifying. It's still terrifying. Yes. I'm terrified. But as you know, as we've discussed, your career doesn't have to be a straight shot up. And the fact that you pause and you take care of yourself doesn't mean that you've lost all the progress before this. You know, I mean, I'm still an attorney. I still have 7 years of environmental practice under my belt. That doesn't just go away. It's so hard to be so career driven and then be forced physically by my body to take a step back from that and focus on what I call the reproductive years.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of women, honestly, in a lot of career women, a lot of women in the legal profession, miss that chance, because what you get, like, if you go to graduate school, you're looking at a good decade of reproductive time.
Right.
And if we're putting our careers first.
Well, how long does it take you to make partner?
It takes 10 years.
Okay. So then you're looking at the end of your 30s.
Exactly. So you really have to plan it out and take that time. And, you know, men obviously don't have to consider that. All the men that I went to law school with are just, going, yeah. You know, they're right on the partner track. But yes. You, at minimum, you're taking 2-3 months off for leave. And so you're not, you know, you're not billing 1900 hours that year. And your male associates, right. are. So it's, I don't know. I don't know that I have a solution, honestly.
I think we need more women business owners, because really, and this is like my opinion, okay? Women understand, moms understand more so, because I was it's frowned upon if I decide that I'm going to come in early and leave early because my daughter has a softball game and I want to watch her play. I only have X amount of years mm-hmm. that she's going to be living at home and I could watch her play softball. So you're going to punish, I get punished then. You get punished, oh, you're going to leave work early? Well, what, you know.
But I don't know that, so I agree that women have a different skill set in terms of emotional, relational managing that is not necessarily compatible with the law firm structure that promotes you because you're a rainmaker or you're, you know, mm-hmm. billing like crazy. And so I think we are seeing managers that aren't qualified to be managers, but I've also seen women that make it to the other side, even moms, and there's not a lot of empathy on the other side. It's kind of like, you know, trudged through this and
you need to do it
pay
too.
Your dues. Oh, yeah. And I really don't appreciate the pay your dues philosophy. I think, you know, you could make things easier for the next generation of women. There's a reason why there's no women in management at law firms. And we can combat that if we are more understanding and acknowledging of what moms want. And quite honestly, like, why don't dads want this? Why have dads not for the past 20, 30, 40 years been saying, I want to go to my kids' baseball game. I want to go to my kids' plays. You know, like, this is only an issue because it matters to moms, but it's a workforce issue in general.
Don't you think, though, this is going to be so controversial, some dads can't handle the children. Okay, so maybe that's like my generation. You know what I mean? Like, if you have a child who is maybe a little bit more, you know, is less attentive to things and you know, like that attention deficit and, you know, dads don't know how to handle that. Who has the patience with it? The mom. It gets put back on them.
Like, my husband has the patience for it. And, but to sort of.
Yeah, but he's a saint.
No, but that's what I'm saying. That was actually, that's one of the fears I have coming in to, you know, the next year, because no one's hiring a woman that's 5 months pregnant, okay? And then what am I going to say? I'm taking off 2 months in December all of a sudden. So I'm kind of like out of the workforce right now for a little bit. And then Patrick will presumably go back and work, because he's been watching Lincoln for the past year. He's amazing. Lincoln has been progressing incredibly. Nominally. He's been potty trained. He knows his numbers. He knows his letters. He's like, I mean, I can't say enough positive things about Patrick staying home with Lincoln and how that has helped his development. But now that the tables have turned, like, Patrick really is the more emotional, caring personality. And so for me, it's scary coming into it thinking, like, I don't even know if I can cut it as a stay-at-home mom. Like, am I cut out for this kind of work?
And it's only I'm scared for your child, too. Knowing who you are. Well, no, but for the new one, because if Patrick goes to work and you're taking care of the baby and Lincoln, like, you know, Patrick does a great job, right?
Patrick like, does a great
no
job.
No offense. I love you. You're my niece. But let's Patrick's call this like, what it is.
Patrick is like a super dad. I don't even, I mean, he's like one of the.
He was built to do this.
He really was.
He was. Like
one of the moms at the park with the blanket all out and all the toys and the snacks.
Yeah.
Like Lincoln has his little friends at the park and Patrick will make like a lunch and then they all share it. Or.
I cannot see you doing that.
Patrick pulls up with the Jeep. Lincoln's got a Jeep. Yeah. It's legit. And it's a little like power wheels, but also you can steer it with a controller. So we bring it to the park sometimes, and like Lincoln pulls in on his Jeep, like he's the coolest kid in the neighborhood, and the kids just swarm him. And now my husband's taken every kid in the park for a ride. Like, I don't, I mean, I'm a little.
We don't have the patience for that. No, wait. Because I think for a lot of reasons, maybe not just because we just don't have the patience for that. It's not just you. It isn't just you. We don't have the patience for that. I don't know if it's genetics. I don't have an answer. I don't know what it is, but we definitely don't have the patience for that. I don't. I remember when my kids were little, I remember some moms saying, well, don't you have a craft room?
Don't you? Well, we have a craft area. Okay. I got that. Yeah. I got that. I don't have a craft room.
I don't have a craft room.
Oh, Mufasa almost got squashed.
That wouldn't have been good.
Yeah. And you know, if you want to bounce on expectations, I'm not meeting all the mom expectations here either. Like, I mean, the number one.
Oh, I failed multiple times.
The number one criticism that I get from family is that I don't own this house. And mind you, this house that I rent, we're renting for like a fraction of the price it would.
Well, considering where you live, right.
Yeah. We live 10 minutes from the beach. Area. Okay. Yeah. So it's, you know, I mean, we're giving up equity to live in a neighborhood that we couldn't otherwise afford, and we're living close to my in-laws, which is a huge help.
So what side of the family is giving you issues?
Well, what side of the family is giving me? I don't know. Who could possibly have an issue with the family?
All right, so it's not the other side.
So it's it's our side. But I think it's more and more common for millennial and Gen Z parents not to own their homes. And
I don't know how you could afford a home at this point.
No idea. It's insane. I mean, and we've been blessed because we've had higher income than average. Right. And still we haven't been able to purchase a home. I mean, some of that because of our own.
Well, you need to move where I live.
but also because we have like really high. I mean, I'm not going to leave this beautiful. We are on a beautiful property here. It's gorgeous.
Yes.
We're in the middle of Little Silver, 10 minutes from the beach. And I'm not going to give this up for something that, to me, is a downgrade for Lincoln. Because he doesn't know the difference between owning and renting.
Kids don't know. Look, kids don't know square footage. Yes. They don't know what the square footage is. They don't know. All they know is that they are loved. They have a place to sleep. They're being fed. You know what I mean? The kids do not know whose house is bigger and whose is smaller. They don't care.
So there's a mom guilt and a mom shame. And the way I define these is mom guilt is internal and mom shame is external.
Okay.
And I think there's both on the subject of, oh, none of these millennials own their houses. And I even see women now, like, waiting until they can own a house to
have a child. You can't do that.
There's risk there because, I mean, it might take you 5 years to be able to buy a house. It might take 10 years for you to be able to buy a house.
Yeah.
There is a limited window. There's very unfortunately a clock ticking, and you have to take that into consideration. Like, do you want to be 40 years old and trying to have a baby?
Wait, I had a baby at 40.
I mean, you can do it, but that's.
It wasn't. Remember, I was geriatric age.
It's not recommended.
But yeah, it isn't recommended.
Because you also don't know if it's going to just work out. Like,
right. You're right. There's so many factors involved. Yes. Yeah. But I love the mom guilt and the mom shame. We are really, really well versed in the mom guilt.
Yes, we are.
As far as mom guilt goes, we have it. Yeah.
Well, because our family is perfect, right? Because we're perfect in our family. And so any falling short of that standard is shamed in our family on our nightly Facebook.
Stop.
Yes.
Definitely gonna have to edit that out. As far as the mom guilt goes, our family is very prone to making you feel guilty.
We are real judgmental people, and we are not quiet about it. Like, we will share our feelings as a family, and not like
for the better or worse of that.
It's the attorney in us, I guess, that we not only share our opinions, but we need to advocate zealously for our opinions. So, like, not only am I going to tell you how I feel, but I am going to lecture you for 15 minutes on why you need to feel that way, too. And
a lot of it has to do with motherhood, because it didn't just come from So we're generations. You're the younger generation. I'm the generation above you. There is my mother's generation, and then there was the generation above her,
so
who
we
knew.
Generations of this on this call, this nightly call, every other nightly now, but three generations of just very strong, opinionated women that are not holding back, not holding back at all. And it's cool.
And intelligent for the most part, too.
But. For the most part, yeah.
Yeah.
And it's good. It's a good forum for discussion, but sometimes it gets
heated.
And it's heavy to have, like, that level of conversation every single day.
So as a mom, what I have learned from this is that sometimes I just agree with what everybody says so I don't have to listen to it.
That's such good advice.
Right?
I just gave this advice to someone because I remember you telling me that once.
Yes, like, you just agree.
Nod your head.
Yes,
say, yes,
sure,
thank you,
sure. And then you do what you want to do.
Whatever you want.
Yes,
do
because there's no, that you just can't fight about it. You can't argue it. You can't. Some people are so ingrained. And I don't just mean this with our family either, but some people are just so, it's just so who they are that you're never going to be able to change their opinions or.
Gotta say, you know, like, I respect that, and then let it roll off your shoulders.
Yes.
You can't
carry
it.
And they may keep on it, but you. So they may keep on it, but you have to be the one that you know, you have to take the high road on it and do. And sometimes it's, but that is where that whole mom guilt comes in.
Mom guilt.
Yeah, you're not doing this. You
mom
didn't do
guilt.
That. What about, I had, when Robbie, this is one of the number one reasons I held, well, number two reasons I held him back. So when Robbie, it was time for him to go to preschool. He just was not emotionally ready to go to preschool. Intelligence, he had the intelligence to go to preschool, but as far as the social skills, he just wasn't ready. He wasn't ready to go. And I remember one mother coming up to me and saying something about him crying during preschool, right? And I couldn't really tell you what I thought, but just imagine what I thought. And I came home the one day and I said to my husband, we're holding him back a year because of when his birthday was. He's a boy. You could do that. So and he started kindergarten at age 6 rather than at age 5. So he was, you know, which is still normal. You turn 6 in kindergarten. It's fine. But he had a whole year of being 6 years old while he was in kindergarten. I said, one, it's going to help him mature, like maturity wise. So, yes, it did. Absolutely. Best decision I ever made. Best decision my husband and I ever made. The other reason why we held him back is because I couldn't stand the mothers.
Ooh, I have tons of fear about mom culture.
Mothers, some of these mothers were so, like, snippy and just so judgmental. One woman had an actual breakdown because she couldn't bring the baby carrots to the Halloween party. Like, how, like, really, is there that much pressure that you need to participate?
There's crazy pressure on moms. Like, our neighbors, I love our neighbors. We have a neighbor next door. They have a little boy the same age as Lincoln. And for his birthday party, they got, it was, like, farm animal themed. So they brought in, like, ponies and shit.
Oh, wow.
Like, I'm just like, how do you compete with that as a mom? Not that I even want to at 3 years old, but, like, I mean, that's intense.
Yeah, but if you have the, okay, but wait, if you have the means to do it, wouldn't you do it? Like, so I have a friend who owns a movie theater. And for Robbie's birthday, we had everyone come to the movie theater and we played a movie. And it was a private showing. Like, we did that because we had the ability to do that.
So do you
Yeah, and
think...
I respect that. It's just.
But I didn't feel like I did it because I wanted to show off to all the other moms. This is what my kid wanted for his birthday.
Not necessarily, but I think it does create a culture of, like, you know, when we threw birthday parties for kids back 20 years ago, like,
you just had cake.
Yeah, we
and you ran around in the backyard.
In the backyard,
we had, like, roller skating parties for me. Like, there was none of this
craziness. Oh yeah.
I mean, there's like
I got a little crazy. I got crazy.
Planning going on.
I got crazy. Yeah, Maria had a face painter come out to one.
I mean, I think that's fine sometimes, but I think what moms have to remember is, like, that's not the expectation. If you can do that, do that. But I don't think that your kid is going to really know the difference between.
Well, and here's the thing, too. It goes with patience. I have no patience, okay? So for me to be able to do something with all of these children, I'm not a teacher. There's a reason why I didn't go into education, okay? So it's giving them fun and having them something to do in a safe environment, and I don't have to be the leader of it. Okay, so that's my thinking on it. I could care less what all the other mothers thought. I really could have cared less. This was about my sanity.
So on the topic of, so you said Robbie didn't go to school until he was 5?
Right, because I couldn't stand the mothers.
Yes, but how did you deal with that childcare gap? Because there is no public childcare available.
Okay, so he went, I was working from home, okay, and... Oh, he wants to know where Maria went.
Maria's at the beach.
Maria's
little
at
love.
The beach.
She'll be back in a couple minutes.
So Robbie went to preschool for that year. So he went half days. And then I had a babysitter that came in a few afternoons to watch him. And
I think that's what people do, is they piece it together.
You have to.
Even at that point, too, because they're to. Just to be clear, and no one tells you this before you have your babies, there's no options. There are no childcare options from age 0 to 3 or 4, at least. Okay, there's nothing. It's just like, here's your baby, figure it out, and try to keep your job. And there's also no protections for moms that are taking care of toddlers. So if your toddler gets sick, if your right. toddler like needs extra attention or has a disability that requires your attention, like there are no legal protections for that. You just gotta hope that your boss is gonna be nice about it. But I don't even know what the solution is. I think people sort of like piece together, you know, grandparents and parents.
And we didn't even have that. We didn't have that because I lived an hour from my family. So we didn't have grandparents. I mean, thank heavens for my neighbors.
Yeah, your
neighbors. My neighbors are awesome. I have like the rock star of neighbors. But my neighbors actually and their children, you know.
Because you got to make you, because you can't do it by yourself. And that's.
No.
It's impossible.
And I wasn't, like, we couldn't afford childcare. Like, I couldn't take them to.
No one can afford childcare.
Like, I couldn't do that. So that's the reason why I worked home.
And even if you get childcare. So even if you get childcare, you know, we're looking at programs for 2-3-year-olds that run from 9:30 to 12:30.
No, I mean actual daycare. Actual daycare, like the daycare, you drop your kid off at 7 and you pick them up at when you're out of work at like 6. Like, that's a long time for your child. I don't know. I just feel so badly. The moms who have to do that, like that, it breaks my heart.
Those programs are so expensive. They're so hard to find really good programs. Yeah. Most of what I see ends at 2:30, which is the middle of the workday.
Right.
And I don't know how they expect you to just pop up and pick your kid up at 2:30, 3 o'clock, and then work.
No, there has to be a better solution.
Society has not solved this problem. They just we're just winging it for the first 4 years of your kid's life.
It doesn't benefit your children, and it doesn't benefit you as a parent.
There's so much.
No, and like I mean, you don't want it's on one hand for your kid's development. Like you want to be with them, but not the only person that's ever with them.
Correct. However.
You can't do everything at the same time. Like, right. You can work with...
Well, what if you're a single mom? If you're a single mom and you don't have a family, your child is in daycare. That's very sad.
And that, I mean, that's going to cost you as much as rent.
I know, but...
There should be some kind of support for that. I think it's wrong.
So I think Jersey's trying to do universal pre-K, which would be like 3-year-olds. So there are government programs that are trying to close the gap.
Right.
And... You know, the governor's like, well, within the next 10 years, we're going to have this program. Well, that's great, but, like, that's not going to help me at all.
Yeah.
And it doesn't help. It doesn't fill the whole gap. It doesn't fill the gap in other states. It doesn't fill the gap from, you know, those first couple of years. And what are you supposed to do with your... I mean, most jobs expect you to be coming back at least 2-3 months after you have a baby. So you have an 8-week-old baby, 10 weeks old at best. They're not even lifting their head up yet. This kid is just laying there all the time, fully dependent on you for everything. You probably might even have a toddler running around, and you're just expected to snap back into work mode and
forget about the kids, right?
And you have to. That's the expectation that you.
We need to fix that.
You really need to go back to work because there's not a.
We need a better solution. I mean, I don't even know what the solution is, but we need a better solution.
Susie does a lot. We have disability, we have family leave, and all those programs are great, but there are absolutely gaps where you as a mom are sitting there thinking, like, what did my mom do? Like, my mom had a job. How did
we had family. But we had that. So I used to work at it. My background is really media. So I used to work at a newspaper, and we would put together the newspaper on a Tuesday night for a Thursday publication. So that's when it was, it came out to the public. And we, for whatever reason, we were there until like sometimes 3-4 o'clock in the morning working on the paper, putting it all together before it went to press, because we were a very small staff startup. So Carmi was living at our house with her mother, and her mother was working.
My Graham's house, your mom's house.
Right, my mom's house. So I would come home from work at 3 o'clock in the morning, get 2 hours of sleep, and have to babysit for her. And there were times that, and there's a picture of her sitting, crisscross apple, right on the floor, and she's sitting in my legs, and she has her little chooch in her mouth, and we're watching Barney. Or Mickey Mouse Club or something. And I am like barely awake, right? And that because it took a village.
Yeah. Oh, everyone babysat me. All of my aunts babysat me. I was at Aunt Angie's shop all the time.
Yeah. Yes.
And like not to take anything away from my mom, because my mom's like so competitive and like is a fantastic mom and was a single mom, not to take anything from her. But like
my aunts
stepped up so much. And my Graham. And
what about the people who
don't have that, though?
I mean, I don't know what you do if you don't have that. Because I very much have that with my mother-in-law now. I mean, we even have, like, Patrick's sister. If we have to run, to the hospital. If we have an emergency, I can call someone and get them here in 10 minutes. Like, we have great friends down the street. We have a ton of Patrick's family here. But if you don't have that, like, my brother-in-law was up north. And I don't even think the kids were home at this time. But he likes to play with power tools. So he's got like a Louvre or something. I don't know what it's called. So he's playing with his power tools in his garage and like really scratches up his arm or something. Or I think he like.
Whatever.
Some sort of a bloody situation. It wasn't good. But he ends up taking an Uber to the ER because there's no one to call. And like for us, that's so foreign because we were people that grew up where, you just sprained your ankle and ended up in the ER and 15 people from our family show up to support you. Yeah.
Yes. So how many times did I drive myself to the emergency room?
My God.
Right. I would drive. My appendix almost burst and I'm driving myself to the emergency room because you have no one. Yeah. And I'm sure I could have called a friend, but it's just... I drove myself. We don't have family.
It's honestly, it's the price of independence. And I totally respect the independence because I have a mom. And like, we live in a culture that was really involved. And so to be able to like take a step back from a community where every single person knows your last name and just says like, oh, which Gubbiati are you? Which Morganti are you? Like, it's cool to be independent and in your own community and making your own connections.
Oh, sure, and you can reinvent yourself, which is great. Yes, like, just great.
The cost of that is...
You have to be extremely reliant upon yourself, which makes it very difficult as a mom. Mm-hmm. What about the moms who are at the hospital with their kids at the emergency department, and then they have to get to work the next day?
They shouldn't have to get to work the next day. I mean, there should be...
They shouldn't, but they are, and that's a terrible thing. And that's not even where the mom guilt part comes in.
No.
Because you are guilt. You feel horrible that, like, what are you going to do with your children? Do I take the day off? Do I not?
You also feel like you're not living up to being the best mom. You're not living up to being the best employee.
Yes.
You're just half-assing everything in life because you can't do 100% of everything all at the same time. I mean, it's literally a full-time job to raise a kid. And you have a full-time job on top of that.
Right.
So it's two full-time jobs.
Yeah.
And there's zero recognition of that in our society. I mean,
and that's why we're here. Because we're here to say we understand and we know what it's like. And
sometimes it just sucks. Like, yeah. There's really tough times. Like, this pregnancy, real, real tough. And I think the first couple years of, you know, I mean, we haven't started school. I'm assuming it's going to make things easier. But it's tough trying to find and manage childcare.
There are things about school that are... like a whole other subject we have to get to is school. School is like, we'll start, yeah, because your children are just starting school and my children are just ending school, you know, graduating from college or going to the last year of college and now going into the last, you know, her senior year. There's like so many aspects of school that we could cover, but school is
And that's not to say motherhood isn't rewarding. Like, we're not here to trash it. Everybody, you know, everybody, I think, agrees as a mom that this is, you know, Lincoln's the best work that I've ever done. I mean, this is the most meaningful work that I do in my life. No matter what I do, no matter how many Superfund cases I'm on. Yeah.
I don't think.
Like, I mean, Lincoln makes everything in my life worthwhile.
Right.
Because what is it all for? I mean, not to say that your life isn't worthwhile if you don't have kids, but it's just I find my relationship with Lincoln makes everything in my life better. If we're going to a restaurant, if we're going to...
Wait until they get older and you can actually have intellectual conversations with your children about, you know, the economy and history and politics and...
Yes, that was my favorite part of your son growing up.
Yeah, there's just so many fun things that you could do with your children. Like, everyone always complained about softball because Maria plays, I guess they call it tournament ball, right? So we're gone on the weekends.
She plays, a lot of softball.
Yeah, she plays a lot of softball. But she's very good at it. Like, she's a joy to watch. It's not like T-ball when, you know, that's, a four-hour game of nothingness. She is a competitive player. So this is, really good softball we're watching. And a lot of parents are, they complain about it. Oh, softball, and it's so much money, and it's so much this. And it has brought such joy to my life. And, you know, unlike if you know anything about tournament ball and softball, some of the parents, it's very competitive, and the parents do not get along. But, she has the most phenomenal group of parents, and we all sit together, and we people share things, and it's just really nice. It's a phenomenal community. And, you know, if one kid needs a ride somewhere or someone needs something, we're all kind of picking up the slack for it, too. Yeah. And it's really nice to find that. Very rewarding. You know, as a parent, you're like, hey, look, I raised this kid.
Jeez. Oh, and when you have a nice kid, it's just there's nothing better than when somebody compliments your kid's manners and how genuinely kind they are. I mean, just Lincoln is the sweetest human being.
He really is.
And I owe a lot of that to my husband, but he's amazing. And
nobody had ever said that about us growing up.
I mean, we were not sweet little girls.
Sweet.
No.
Not at all.
We were firecrackers all around.
Yeah, we weren't sweet.
And so maybe that speaks a little bit to our relational, emotional parenting, is that our kids are a little bit softer around the edges than we were.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
Which is good.
You want me to drop the microphone? Oh, it's not the microphone. No, no. Oh, it's the big camera. Yes. Yes. Yeah. Such a sweet.
So as a side, I talk a lot about emotional and relational parenting. That's sort of like the converse of authoritarian dictatorial.
Yeah, but I was never that way with my kids.
You were always good, but I think there is this shift, and we could probably talk about this for a whole episode, but I'm embracing the shift of I'm not just going to tell you no, I'm going
to... I say no sometimes.
I don't believe in artificial boundaries.
Well,
so
no, you can't say just because I'm the parent. I don't
like when it gets about ego and control. Like, if you're not going to listen to me because you are going to find a different creative solution to the problem... I don't want to stop that. I don't want to, you know, cut off those neurological firings in your brain. And so I try to say no as little as possible. But, you know, I if I do say no, I give my kid a reason. Like, I want you to understand because
what we're getting at is the guilt of moms and
don't feel it. I mean, don't feel it. You're going to feel it. It's going to happen, but don't lean into it. Like, we're all,
you're doing great is what we're really trying to tell you, is that you're doing a phenomenal job.
Exactly.
You're doing great.
The fact that you're even worried about how you're doing means you're doing amazing as a mom.
Yes. Yeah. An ego check. Because if you think you've got it all together and you're not, you don't.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's healthy for us to talk about our faults, and not that they're faults, but like, none of us are getting everything 100%.
Well, no, I think other people need to know that they're not alone out there. Mm-hmm. There are many people who feel the same way and are going through the same experience and have a shared experience or a similar experience, and that you're not alone. You have support.
And it's normal to face these challenges. It's not like you're not cutting it. We're all not cutting it in some ways.
True.
We're all out there fighting. Yes. Fighting for our lives every day, trying to get through toddler life. I love toddler life, though.
Do you really?
Yeah, everyone's like, oh, terrible twos, three.
I had great toddlers.
I
think middle school was tough.
Every year he gets older, I just love him even more, which so cliche to say. But, like, I love engaging with him and playing with him.
Yes.
And I love his little personality. And sometimes he is really stubborn and feisty.
But so are your parents. Yeah.
I don't know. I like it. I like how he grows up. I hope it continues that every year, you know, we get a little bit closer, and I don't know, I guess usually around like middle school is when your kids are kind of
No, they don't. We'll talk about that too. Mm-hmm. Okay? All to come on the next
episode. I don't know, because I'm not there yet.
Yes. All to come on the next episode of Monsters.